Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Vendettas Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, long time, no talk.
It's been a full week and no sooner.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. How are you?
A little birdie tells me that's not the whole truth.
No, it's not the whole truth. Before this morning, I was asleep for about 20 straight hours with the flu.
So we're on life support here at the Challenger Hapa, but we have an episode to talk about. So let's not talk about us. No one cares if we're sick.
No, but we do care that Sylvie is sick, and she let everyone still know that she's still battling through her illness, which, you know, good on her for winning that elimination last week.
Which is kind of crazy, because when she comes back, she's, like, looking good, feeling gorgeous. I thought everything was fine. She's talking about the grenades. But then when we see her later, she's, like, on death's door. Yeah. Knock, knock, knock it on death's door.
That's the power of adrenaline. Once you get in that ring, crazy things can happen.
Oh, I wish my life was like that. But anyway. Let's talk about the grenade. I mean, it's like the princess promised it never came. But we don't know that then, now, then, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't know that when we're listening to this. Is it interesting at all that Sylvia's like discussing which grenade to use? I feel like this is the first time with the grenade we see someone conferring with their alliance.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first time we see any thought going into it, it doesn't actually happen. So I wonder if that's a theme that we'll now see going forward. But I mean, they didn't really settle on what they were most leaning towards. I think the only thing that they ruled out was like the endurance thing beforehand. They're like, oh, that's funny, but obviously we're not going to do that. So, I mean, I would think she would choose the money because 10,000 is like a nice chunk of change just to bank. So, but who knows where she actually would have gone.
And then we see two quick scenes here. I have a feeling I know how you're going to feel about this, but I'll pose it to you anyway. Nicole's moping because everyone's jealous of Melissa. I don't feel like anybody's jealous of Melissa. I think sometimes someone who's beautiful and worth being jealous of because they're witty and have a great accent and a good kiss or whatever Nicole's saying can just actually be unlikable and rude. And that's why people don't like them. And it doesn't always mean that women are jealous of them.
No, not always. But I think there could be some hint of jealousy at the start and then that festers and then it grows and then she's getting drunk and belligerent and maybe annoying. And then it's like, oh, we hate her even more now. So maybe the true hatred is not jealousy, but maybe that's just kind of like the kickoff point.
All women on this show are beautiful. They have nothing to be jealous of Melissa. I thought that was like some sour grapes from Miss Nicole, but who can say, I guess.
Do you think we get a mention of Melissa at this point going forward at all from Nicole? Or is now she just boom, cut off the leash and now she's free to target whoever she wants to go up with?
I would normally say no, but in this season where everything needs to be stretched out to high hell, I feel like they could very easily bring Nicole moping back again. I also don't know that Nicole has any other targets in the house. It's not like last season where she had not last season, but the last time this was a storyline where she was torn between Laurel and Kara. Kara leaves and then she pursues Laurel. Mm-hmm. Like, do we feel like there's another person out there that Nicole can aim for?
Well, Laurel is coming back, so who knows?
Wow. Okay, we'll see. Then we might get a conversation about Melissa.
Yeah.
And then we get the hottie with a body bromance package between Joss and Victor. Little flirtation with Shane. Real or fake there? Like, is that just, that's the foreshadowing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the flirtation is real from Shane. I think Victor seems like the type of guy that would have no idea that Shane's even gay. Was just like looking to bro down with him. I can see that being a possibility. But I mean, at least there's getting a little hint of storytelling in this scene.
It's fun that we do the podcast together, Brian, because I feel like sometimes we're watching a different show from each other. Like, I definitely, Victor knows Shane's gay and Victor's okay with it. And they're oiling, Joss and Victor are oiling each other up and he's shimmying at Shane and it's all like innocent. But I don't think Victor's like not understanding that Shane is gay.
No, but Victor just has that like naivete sometimes where it's like he doesn't even know what's actually going on.
I think he's just comfortable flirting with a gay man, which is like more power to him. He should be.
Yeah, go for it.
So we get the great graphic. I mean, there are a lot of graphics this episode. This was my favorite. The Jemmy, Brittany, Veronica, Carmaria, and sometimes Shane room.
Yes, this is for Notegate. Got it. And then everything with a gate. Anytime something happens, there's no gate.
So reportedly, though, if anyone was wondering why Shane was sometimes in that room, there was, I think Veronica took to Twitter to say, and I'm paraphrasing, like, Shane is in our room because Brad snores like a garbage truck at 3 a.m., except it's all night. And so Shane just like brought his mattress into other people's rooms. And what's just funny is like Marie or somebody else was like, imagine how Tori had to deal with it. Like, I guess love is blind and deaf. So that was fun.
Yeah, covers all the senses.
I am kind of surprised that they don't throw it to Brittany. Like, I was like, oh, how does Brittany deal with it? I'm like, we're still bringing Tori in as the most recent person to have shared a room with Brad.
Right. Or just ask, I mean, this is a challenge house. I'm sure everyone can hear other people sleeping. So I'm sure the snoring is got to be affecting a lot of other people. So ask anyone.
So what'd you make of Noakgate? Were you interested in it?
I thought it's a fun little, like, little side story. I'm curious to see exactly where it leads to. I think that'll be the true test of if it matters. Like, if it, you know, whoever we find out did it, if it's like, throws people's games in a wrench, and new people are being targeted, and new vendettas are being created. Then I think it could be interesting, but I think it all depends on the result.
I feel like it was overhyped on Twitter. So if anyone was following Twitter, I don't know why you need to, because you have it all here at the end of the week. But it was like really hyped even last week and maybe the week before, and it's just going to be hyped for the next few weeks. So I was sort of like, oh, it's like a generic note that's like, it's not a death threat. It's all right. It's just like, you suck. People talk about you, you know? Okay. Like, yeah, same. I don't know. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I think it just really is something I'm going to have to get over all season, that now that we're at episode 5 or episode 6, sorry, it's like, really grating on me, like, now that the format is just so dragged out no matter what they have. So now, like, we're gonna get 45 minutes about two notes written on construction paper this week, and I'm sure it's gonna be the focus of the next 2 weeks to come.
Yep. Yeah, and it's weird because the notes, like you said, weren't even that, like, you know, strong. They weren't like that threatening. They weren't that like anything. They were just like very bland, like normal things that happened on the show that you don't even need a note to tell you that's happening. So the fact that now they're gonna make this a focus as opposed to just like getting on with the next elimination is kind of frustrating.
The biggest thing, the most interesting thing to come out of Noakgate for me, which probably tells you why I don't like Noakgate, it's kind of like the Mitch watch of Noakgate, is that Brittany thinks that flip-flops are called slippers.
Yeah, very weird terminology on her part.
And so that's like pretty much all I got out of it. I guess maybe it'll get more exciting as it goes on. Why don't we just wrap the second note in too, which said, so the first one was, just so you know, when you're not in the room, everyone talks shit about you. The other one was, you don't even know how much you're getting played or how badly you're getting played. So Shanna James says, who do you guys think wrote the note?
I mean, my first thought was kind of their first thought of it being Marie, because this honestly seems like something she would like try to do to get attention, but then also, this is something Bananas would love to try to do, because it's the type of thing that he does to stir the pot and to get attention. So maybe he's just using Natalie as like his Trojan horse to drop the note off for him.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment. I didn't think it was Marie. It could be Marie. If it is Marie, Marie's a psychopath for like overcorrecting. Like, she did not need to swear on everyone in her life and everything she holds dear. And she also like had the perfect out when like Brittany's saying, are you pranking me? You know, then just lean in then if it's you at that point, Marie. But this has bananas all over it, in the sense that I'm gonna, like, they're definitely gonna think it's a woman, because I'm gonna use a pink piece of paper and have a woman do the writing. So if it's feminine handwriting and a pink paper, no one will ever come after me.
Yeah.
It happens to work. They're not pointing fingers at anyone not in the room or people who are comfortable walking into the sacred space that is that room. But I don't know. I guess I'm mildly interested to know who it is.
It's interesting about Marie, though. If you're so defensively saying something's not you, that usually means it is you. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Because that's sometimes like the clearest sign of where there is guilt.
I feel like there's a real, like, who stole the cookie from the cookie jar situation going on. Like, who, me? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I cite so many freaking children's songs on this show. But
it's Clue, the Challenge Edition.
I love that little soundbite from Bananas. Like, Shane with the sleep mask in the girls' room. Yep.
So perfect.
He has a lot of good lines this shockingly this episode, so we'll get to those in a gif. Again, I saw all my notes just say, like, what's with this room? No one feels comfortable in this, like, random room in the house.
I don't understand what their logic, like, no one knows where Brittany sleeps. Like, I'm pretty sure they can probably figure out from asking anyone or just at any point in their time walking through the house that they all share where someone sleeps. I feel like that's not the hardest thing to deduce.
Or if, like, Brad remnants are in the bed, like a couple little hairs or, like, a DJ setup, his headphones for DJ Plan B advertisements. Like, that's Brittany's bed.
Plenty of clues.
Mermaid scales. anything. All right, so let's get to the challenge. Natalie and Sylvia, like us, are feverish and vomiting and ill. We couldn't compete this week. Although, you know what? We showed up to do the podcast. Something.
We did. More than once.
But yeah, so Edward Morris wants to know, what did we think about the dud grenade? So anyone who's not watching the show, the grenade, because Sylvia was not at the challenge, we heard that the grenade was a dud.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Sylvia just couldn't cast what she wanted to happen from the bet, especially if it is just stealing the 10,000. It's like, just be like, hey, Joss or whoever it is, Sylvia's taking 10,000 from you. Boom, done.
Yeah, I agree. I was like so excited that she's sending this grenade beyond the grave. Like, if Camilla can not be at the reunion, not be allowed at the reunion, and can still win, like, why can't TJ just pull the pin on the grenade? But then when I saw Sylvia, I was like, my anger was quelled and replaced with just like, she's lucky they're not sending her home, because Camilla, Sylvia looks like she's near death. I don't know how she's going to compete next week. I don't know how she's going to rally for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if this was a girl elimination, then I don't know how they would have decided between Natalie and Sylvia who automatically goes in. There's that, like, a sick off. Whoever's the most sick actually goes in.
Let's see that. Sure.
Yeah. Whoever they take each other's temperatures. Whoever's higher goes in. That'd be a fun battle.
Gripping television and even more exciting podcasting, I'm sure.
Sylvia's up to a 101.1. Can Natalie beat her?
Yeah. So, but overall, I really liked this challenge.
Yeah, I thought it was very fun. I like when they try to do different things with challenges, like doing this at night, but I kind of wish they save the night portion of a challenge for when they're doing things outside and not just underwater. I feel like we kind of lost some of the luster of that, like kind of like how they did the one a few years ago where they're propelling off a side of a building and they can't see more than like 5 feet below them. I thought that was very cool. I would like to see them do more of that, as opposed to when you're underwater. I don't think being at night adds much more to it.
Yeah, I think I see your point. I thought it was fine. I think going into like deep darkness in the ocean is scarier. So like, if it doesn't make it that much more exciting for us to watch, it's probably scarier for them. On the flip side, if it doesn't really change their experience, it's like cool to see it at night. Like, who's diving down deep at night in pitch black feels unsafe. You get the like neon breath stations that Tony somehow can't even see. I liked it. Could I use more night challenges? Sure. But it probably takes away from... Actually, I wonder, does a night challenge take away from the partying because they can't go out that night because they're at the challenge and presumably exhausted after? Or, like, I guess you'd have to tell them the night before, like, don't worry about being hungover. You'll just be swimming at night.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on if it delays, like when does the troika happen? Because I feel like they usually go out after, like, the troika stuff, right? That's usually, like, after, like, the... that announcement. So if that's delayed till the next day, then yeah, I guess they could still go out. Then it's just all like delayed by another day.
Either way, night or day, I like this challenge overall. And water challenge give me the heebie-jeebies. I can barely breathe okay, like in air, much less like finding a little scuba mouthpiece. And somehow I'm with who's the one who bailed because they didn't know how to use the mouthpiece?
Yeah, I feel like that was it Jemmy? It might have been Jemmy.
I would have no idea how to open my mouth underwater and slip a scuba thing in.
I would have been like Joss. I would have had no idea how to put the goggles over my eyes. I would have been out like that.
See, I was thinking when he said it's a rookie mistake, I'm like, give rookies more credit. Like, that's not a rookie mistake. That's like a human. Right. Like, that's lower than that's a podcaster's mistake.
I kind of forgot about this when TJ was like describing the challenge. they like specifically said, like, don't even bother asking. No, I didn't try this. Like, is this something they constantly ask TJ before challenges? Like, did you try this? Like, what? I feel like TJ would never try this.
I am not surprised to hear that TJ often gets the reaction like, this is so crazy. Did you do this? Because they all have this like playful relationship with TJ that some of them take too far. We'll see on Twitter later in the foreshadowing here, like MTV. But yeah, was there anyone you were, I guess I should say this. We got to talk about the team selection because Miss Marie cannot let an injustice that doesn't make the edit go unspoken about.
Nope.
So the teams were the teams. We don't have to recap them, but Marie wants everyone to know, wow, the team selections were not random. Back me up here at Zach, at Tony. Marie says, I set Brad up for failure by creating the teams. Cam, Kayla, and Nelly weren't great swimmers and the voting wouldn't land in his favor. And the Kara comment was completely edited. The first part of Me Feels Bad for Her was when she busted her chin open. At that point, like, enough. Like, you're complaining about the one valid thing about the teams. Fine, we'll give you credit. Let's not complain about the chin edit. Kara didn't even get the chin edit shown and just had to be like a crazy person with white cape under her chin.
Yeah, we thought she was just trying to be like a weird pirate.
And then Marie said, I'm legitimately upset with this edit. That was clear. MTV stole my moment and made me look bitter. Shane said, Marie picked those teams. Veronica said, Marie, you were talking about it before the competition. WTF are you talking about? Marie speaks for everyone when she says she's confused by that tweet from Veronica. Then Marie says she threw the mission. There's a reason Tony's laughing. We set these teams up both to win and to lose. Shane says Marie picked those teams and then threw the mission. Kayla says not random at all. Marie put me on a badass team. Marie says the Troika chooses the team selection whenever there were team challenges and the grenade wasn't used to do so. So yeah, if you didn't catch that, Marie made the teams.
Yep.
Which, to Marie's credit and to the credit of the entire Troika, I think this is like the swiftest way if you're going to put put Brad in the bottom or take a shot at Brad. This is a pretty smooth way to do it. You get Tony in the Troika. You got Marie saying, I didn't give you a bad team, Brad. I'm on the team. Why would I want to give myself a bad team? Marie of Zach, Marie, and Tony is the most likely to do shitty. So if she's really throwing it, it doesn't look bad. And then Marie makes the vote and says, I'm just repaying Sylvia's debt and you can't be mad at me. And I think that kind of works on somebody like, you know, the caveman that Brad is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciate there being thought behind picks as opposed to Melissa last week, where I think it was basically more random, as she kind of said. And it's almost weird that MTV would cut out strategic thought for randomness. I don't know why they would want to do that. I feel like you would want to always highlight whenever there is something that could come into play later on. But for Maria, I just find it weird that she wouldn't want to put herself in the power position and risk having Bananas be in the power position when the other day his rule is probably going to trump everyone else's. So even though you may want to get Brad out, you might not be able to do it at your terms. You're going to have to do it at Bananas.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have your hand in every pot, right? So you look at the trick as a whole. Is Marie going to be more likely to win or more likely to lose? I feel like she's playing the card she's dealt. And, it's like, at what point is it on Tony for letting Bananas do his bidding as opposed to Marie should have been on the winning team to really control?
I mean, that's another conversation. When is Tony, you know, we see him in this challenge, like he's finally showing his potential as strictly a competitor, something we wished we would have seen a couple seasons ago when he's flaming out and doing horribly. And now like this season with the food and now we're doing this, like he's finally showing what he could do competitively. So now it's like, when are you going to take the next step and start thinking about yourself politically and making moves that strictly benefit you and not necessarily someone else? So hopefully as he gets into more positions of power, he's able to kind of think for himself and think about what is best for him.
Yeah, and there are two moments we can't leave the challenge without talking about. One is, as you're talking about with Tony, Tony's performance, the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, he killed it. He goes, you know, they have the air stations for a reason so people don't pass out and die. And he just goes, I think because, again, like he's kind of like Jemmy, like he doesn't know how to do it or we can't find it. So he just says, screw it. I'll just do the whole challenge with my single breath.
I want to know from Tony fans, and I'm not 100% sure where you fall these days, but and fairly so. Is this the Tony, right? Because this is a very different Tony than the Tony fans fell in love with. So I'm fine with this Tony. I'd rather watch Tony who's here to play than Tony who's here to play with the ladies in certain respects. Is this still the Tony you want to see, or would you rather him be like wreaking havoc on the house?
No, I think this is a fun new version of Tony. I mean, I think we've gotten our fill of you know, Tony crashing and burning and doing some things that are not exactly great to see for him. And now it's like, this could be Tony 2.0, where now he's developing more into the competitor and potential winner of a season, as opposed to, you know, the winner of like the drama portion of the season. So I think this could be a fun new version of Tony that we can grow to love in like a different way, or at all.
Also, we have a beautiful redemption story for Leroy here. For anyone who's not watching the show, and I'm becoming more sympathetic to you guys, if only because I'm starting to really feel like the episodes are dragging and like not much is happening. So you're kind of relying on your love of the contestants. So I'm sort of having a full evolution here with you guys. Leroy has notoriously been a bad swimmer. That's been the weakness in Leroy's otherwise like pretty strong physical game. Leroy has a hilarious line where he says he's been YouTubing videos of swimming to learn how to swim. And here is where we get the payoff. Leroy moves the ring 12 feet. And I felt terrible because like Leroy does a great job in the only part of the swimming is to get down to the rope. And then you're supposed to pull yourself with the ring. And Leroy is like dragging the ring and actually swimming, which was really his downfall. But good for Leroy for performing in the water challenge.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, 5 years ago, Leroy. He would have done what Josh did probably. He goes down 2 seconds and he's like, oh, I can't do it. Comes back up. So the fact that, you know, he's going, making the ring move, what, 12 feet? Like, you know, cut to Leroy in 2022 and he's, you know, going 40 feet. And this is like a whole new thing.
I want to live in a world where even 5 years ago, Leroy would have been able to put the mask on. But yes, I agree with you. So the winners are Tony, Banana, Zach, Kyle, and Kayla, picking up $5,000 each. And the Troika is Tony, Bananas, and Kyle. Now, Marcy Goblitz wants to know how the Troika works. She didn't understand why Shane wasn't in it since he beat Bananas in swimming. So could you set this up?
So for this challenge, the way it worked was just whichever team won, then within that team, the top three finishers were the Troika, regardless of whoever may have done the best overall across everyone. It just had to, you had to be on the winning team, and then within the team, the top three.
Now, Edmo wants to know, should the Troika have been three people who made the 150 feet the fastest overall, or did you like that it was the three people from the winning team who went the furthest?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have, if they wanted to do this as an individual challenge, I think they could have easily done that. I think once you split them up in the team, I think it makes more sense just to keep the top three within the team. But I mean, if they did, this could have easily been an individual challenge, and I wouldn't have batted an eye at that either.
See, I think it might have been interesting if they had done like there's a losing team where the men have to get voted into the bottom, but you can save yourself by still making the Troika outside of the winning team. Like, I actually think it would have been interesting, cause especially in this situation, talking about results oriented, Brad would have been able to, I think there's no doubt that Brad would have been in the Troika overall. And that would have been pretty interesting if like you still have this opportunity to save yourself despite Marie and Tony and Zach putting you in a dead team. And despite Marie allegedly throwing the challenge. But it was fine. I just think that was like would have been an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah, that could have been a fun little twist. I'm sure knowing the challenge, they could have just declared that after the fact. Like, oh, now we're actually just doing the three best from anyone. So I think that could have been a fun twist. Yeah, absolutely.
It is pretty delicious, though, that like Sylvia, Brad did the best on his team and then still gets voted in. So karma's a bitch or yeah. The Troika's a bitch either way.
There's your irony.
All right, so Tyler, what? Kyle is a real slippery goose because I feel like he is the hardest of anyone to read. And it's like a callback to him shaking Corey's hand and then saying he doesn't know what a handshake means. Now we get his second turn in the Troika and he's cutting all sorts of deals. Happy go lucky, going with Victor and Devin to say, OK, Joss, and then going with Bananas and Tony to talk about Devin and Nelson. So I don't really know what to make of Kyle right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is intentional or what, but he's really playing up the rookie naivete. I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of just figuring it out on the fly type thing, which I think partly is probably true, and maybe partly he's trying to play it up to not look as malicious or trying to just keep himself look innocent or whatever. So, I mean, I don't think he's really being called out. The person who was most upset by it was Corey, and he's gone, so that doesn't really matter anymore. And I guess Nelson probably holds a little bit of vengeance, but I think Nelson also has other vendettas to deal with elsewhere. So for now, he's kind of slipping under the radar, but I guess if this continues, the focus will probably land more on him.
It is interesting because Joss has the more intimidating build and like really set the tone with that first challenge and how good he could be. But we see Kyle be in the troika twice. We don't see Joss make the troika at all. But he just isn't this physically imposing guy. And I feel like that's a really good spot to be in, especially for sort of like the unknown guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's probably the easier role to play, right? As a rookie, to be like the, oh, I don't know what's going on, I'm kind of learning, as opposed to just coming out firing right away. So I think that's probably the better spot to be in.
I don't know any other way besides coming out firing, but sure, I'm sure that works for Kyle. I was really impressed here with Bananas and Tony to a lesser extent, because I really think it was Bananas driving this in the deliberation. Because they come in and it's the most non-serious thing ever. Like, Kyle's like, let's each say a person we don't want to go in. And Bananas is like, I'm not putting in Tony, which is hilarious. He's there, whatever. And at first it annoyed me because it's Bananas. And of course it's going to annoy me. But on a second look, I thought it was brilliant. Because the way we see Kyle acting and talking, Kyle wants Shane in because he's annoying. Kyle wants Victor in because he's too nice to him and doesn't joke around enough, and like he's clearly only making decisions based on social friendships. And Bananas is not coming in and saying, here, you have to listen to me. He's making jokes, no big deal, what do you think, giving Kyle a voice. And then he's like, okay, now that we're friends, I'm gonna explain to you beat by beat why everyone I want is gonna end up in the ring. And he gets his wish. I feel like that was the perfect way to massage Kyle.
Yeah, and I mean, there's one thing Bananas learned over the years is how to get rookies either to fall in line, like, initially or after a season or two. Like, they usually all fall in line. It's because he just knows how to get to them. And here, he knows how to figure out, he figured out Kyle pretty quickly. He just knows how to placate him and get him to think, like, a lot of things are his ideas or things, why things make sense for him. So, I mean, he's able to get Kyle to fall right in line.
It's also uncanny because, so Bananas, I agree with Bananas, rarely do I agree with Bananas, but when he says that, you know, he makes some comment like Victor thinks he's playing Big Brother and he's not, which is what I've been saying. And then he says that the only way Nelson's going to win a challenge is if it's literally like, here's a brick wall, put your head through it, which is what you've always said about Nelson. And now I'm wondering if I've been socially manipulated somehow by Bananas through the show, that now I'm doing his bidding on the podcast.
He gets everyone, Allie. Just a matter of time.
But yeah, so good on him for getting his people in. Victor, Shane, and Devin will be in the Inquisition. What was your reaction to this group?
Not super surprised, because this is kind of the perfect setup for Bananas to get his target Victor. And I think it's kind of hard to make a real strong case for Devin or Shane at this point. So I think for everyone else, getting Victor in probably just makes the most sense.
Yeah, I at first was shocked by this. But then, like, it's kind of like the more nuanced approach to putting people up for consideration is that you only really want one real option. And Bananas is able to put two people in that he doesn't really have relationships with in Shane and Devin. So no love lost. But it really wouldn't make sense to put Shane and Devin against Brad. So that, I think we will see a move more to what we talked about last time with Cam, where potentially Natalie, when she put in Cam, should have said like, I'm putting you in as a goat. Like, I'm putting you in because I know no one will put you in. And maybe this was last week too, with whoever it was. Bottom line is, I think we're going to start seeing some more pawns a la Big Brother being put up. I'm only putting you in because you're not going to go in, and my target is Victor. But of course, it would be left to Bananas to be the first one to sort of make that play.
Yeah, exactly. And he's usually one step ahead.
And then how did you think everyone did in the Inquisition?
I mean, I think it's tough to do well if you're Victor, because no matter what you do, it's probably not going to work. So it's going to be perceived of you as you doing it wrong. So here he tries to remain quiet and let other people do the talking. But I mean, if you're going to be voted in, then like, oh, I guess you try to make your pitch and try to save yourself. But then you might going to come across as like desperate and needy and tossing like stones at other people. And it's like, you know what? If you're screwed, you're screwed. And I think he's just screwed.
Yeah, I mean, Shane was really annoying here. Like, I think Devin had the perfect read that, like, Bananas is testing you. Bananas is trying to get everything out of you. Exactly what you're saying. Like, you're screwing yourself here, Shane, by saying everyone's gunning for you. Like, just immediately being willing to snake anyone you might have had a semblance of working with. That was pretty, not surprising, but disappointing, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because this is usually where Shane thrives. I mean, it's actually been very surprising in how good... I guess it shouldn't be a surprise anymore, but how good he is in the challenges, what you would think of him, the way he kind of built himself as he was just like the social butterfly. He's able to talk himself out of situations where it's really his physical play that's been the better end of his game.
Yeah, and it's like Devin has the right read here, not only in how he should be acting in the Inquisition, but in that he's probably not going in. And it's like Shane is usually so smart about this, like you're saying. It's kind of surprising that he feels like there's a good chance he could go in here, that he's getting so worked up at the club with Victor and he's getting so worked up at the Inquisition. Like, you know, hold your cards a little close to your chest. You're probably not going in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you make of Bananas flirting with Kaylee at the club?
I think it's a dangerous play that could blow up for a few people involved, depending on how it goes down the road. Like, this could easily become a thing that pushes Natalie away from him. This could easily become a thing that, you know, pushes Nelson away from Kaylee and forces another situation between either him, Nelson and Bananas, or Nelson and Kaylee. I think there's like a few scenarios where this can go where it doesn't end well, but it also depends on, you know, if this is just like a one-off, like, you know, they're out for a while and anyone can have a 30-second conversation with someone and be twisted one way or another. So it'll be depending upon how much this continues.
Yeah, and we'll see if anything pays off from Devin saying, like, this is definitely going to continue, but it's going to be in secret, which is Bananas' MO. Mm-hmm. So more on that later. We have no 5-star reviews that were named. Like, you can submit them without comments, then I can't thank you. But if you want to submit them with comments, I can thank you. You could do so at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We always appreciate it. Couple things from Twitter. Thank you to our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, as always. I pulled this and I didn't pull the tweet that it caused it, but Tori... I was interested to see if Tori Hall, who's Brad's ex-wife, would react to Marie, you know, bringing the kids into it last time. She said, "You'll never win with some people. These are the same people who praise Brad for having sex on TV and bash Marie for telling him he doesn't take care of his kids." Eye roll emoji, no logic. I guess presented without comment. Because that shocked me that was her reaction to that. I don't know. She's suggesting that Brad hooking up with Brittany somehow justifies Marie saying he doesn't take care of his kids. There's a lot there. I don't have it in me to go there.
No.
Bananas and Veronica have had quite a Twitter feud pop up. Mel Reeves had posted on Instagram a picture of her naked drinking wine under the Challenge Vendettas flag. Pretty iconic photo, actually. So check that out. And Bananas commented on it. "It takes nothing to join the crowd and everything to stand alone." Fist emoji. Veronica wrote, "Hey, Challenge 32 cast, remember MTV Bananas' words next time and refrain from becoming his puppet," which I actually thought was like a pretty good response. Bananas said, "Shame you won't be there to tell them in person." Cry emoji. "MTV must think you need a break considering all the airtime they've dedicated towards you this season." Veronica said, "You think I care how much airtime I get? If I cared about airtime, I would have never stepped away, and I make the same paycheck whether or not they show me." I don't believe she doesn't care about airtime, but okay.
Yeah, I think everyone cares.
Then Banana says, "Paycheck? Don't you get paid in box wine?" Scrunch face emoji, wine emoji. Okay, cool. And the real feud, really, with Veronica of the hour is the one with your boy. And
DJ.
So Kara said that the elimination lasted hours. It was brutal. It was insane. It was an amazing fight. Veronica said, seriously, both girls were warriors, especially Sylvia. It seemed like the higher powers wanted her to lose because they allowed such blatant illegal moves to be made against her without calling them, and she still won. Then she takes a step further with no one asking her to and says, I'll say this as well. TJ placed that ball down Melissa's half of the pinball way more often than Sylvia's. And TJ says, I've never pulled any bullshit on the show ever. You guys give it all you've got and are honing for real money. I don't F with that stuff. All love. And Veronica says, TJ, my apologies if I question your character. Wasn't my intention, and I should have worded my statement differently. From the sidelines, it did seem like production desired a certain outcome. You, on the other hand, do not care, nor do you ever even know about storylines. So then why did you say that he was... okay. There was more between bananas. No one cares. And Veronica. Veronica said, there's no question that you are one of the good guys to TJ and really love the competition aspect of the show and love when the competitors show they have heart. Bananas. Then TJ says, hey, ladies, sorry for the abundance of replies. One, I honestly was just telling you I'd never purposely help someone win or lose. All love, girl. Hope you're well. And Banana says, let me get this straight, TJ. Veronica unfairly accuses you of cheating in an elimination with zero facts or evidence. You then apologize to her for fans supporting you and setting the record straight. Chin scratch emoji. You, my friend, aren't a host. You're a saint. Angel emoji. Hashtag Saint Lavin. Okay. Some resolution from last week's issue with Mel and Kayla. Somebody, a listener, not a listener, a watcher of the show, maybe a listener, brought up that Kayla in March of 2017 tweeted, if you run 10 miles, I assume you wouldn't have cellulite legs, but I mean, who am I to say? And Mel said, honestly, Kayla calling me out on body shaming. And then there was some resolution because she did release tweets with the name scrawled out. The person who sent her the tweet, the text said, I think you are beautiful too, but you've always been nice to me. Holy crap. Word on the street is she banged Corey too. Girl shrugging emoji. Then Mel said, no, when whilst she was with her BF, didn't she like open her legs and pee in front of all the guys too at some point? And this person said, yeah, Corey was bragging about it from what I heard from my manager. And Mel tweeted that with the rumor fact about you and Tony hooking up. No, that was yesterday's news. Here's today's receipts. And tagged her boyfriend. Kayla said, yeah, I was single when I banged Corey and peed in the bed. LOL. Everyone knows this. A swing and a miss, girl. Your attempts are getting pathetic. So, like, yeah, Melissa's got some old news for anyone just joining us. Kayla was single when she was hooking up with Corey and was drunk and peed her bed. And Corey ended it with her. That's not tea. That's old. And Mikey said, duh, everyone knows that. You're like a mosquito that keeps blowing up my mentions when I'm at the gym. Stop trying to make me your Twitter friend. It's just awkward now. And then Kayla said, and now we have the source of the rumor. Kayla told Bananas, and he told and is now egging on Mel to spread the rumor that she started with Nelly. But he already said it isn't and was never true information. Now we can end the stupid shit. So Nelson tweeted, look, people, this the truth. Kaylee asked me if Kayla and Tony hooked up. I thought they had a long time ago, but now it's turned into a big rumor that they did this season, which isn't true. My bad. Cool.
Like just a my bad and that washes it all away. Oh, my bad.
This is the biggest news happening right now as we speak, or not as we speak, but happening before, and it's continued to happen. Kayla on an Instagram post wrote, this is funny, as Nelson was never my BF. He's an obsessed lunatic. Whoever that Nerese is from Are You the One, she had a great escape. Then Jemmy wrote, she's effing foul for disrespecting Nelly like this when he was nothing but good to her trifling ass. She's a hateful bee who's going to get what she deserves. Oof. And pulling up the live action, Nelson wrote, thanks, Jem. This is like 15 seconds ago. Thanks, Jem, for being a real one. It's very funny. Nelson tags the person and then also writes their handle. So it says, thanks at Just Jem 24 for being a real one. fist emoji, laugh cry emojis. Never said I was at K Morris X, Kaylee Morris, Kaylee Marie Morris X BF. And I was single going into the show. Chin scratch emoji. Don't be childish. Must be MTV X on the beach thing. Save the drama for your mama. Then Kaylee says he's a psychopath. Rings me 20 million times a day. Guy can't take the I never answered, but I'm online hint. Weirdo thumbs up emoji. Then she says, you want to talk about mama? Tell your mama her son is the harder grafter when it comes to girls. Followed me around the villa, followed Melissa around the villa, then followed me to London. Not X on the beach drama. It's Nelson needs airtime / get late drama. Ooh, ooh, wow. Ooh, that's ooh. Uncomfortable. Okay, so just scrolling through, again, more Veronica Bananas hate. I feel like that we said enough. And then Shane, Veronica says, who thinks people should be tested for roids before competing in a challenge series? Monkey or speak no evil monkey emoji. And then Shane wrote, Kyle, we aren't friends anymore. A dick because I asked someone to not take advantage of a drunk girl. Okay, okay. I see how the UK rolls. So potentially that was presented to me without the other tweet. Potentially Shane and Kyle have some beef. That's whatever you guys want to make of it. More on that next week, potentially. The beef never ends.
Never ends. Never ends.
Has this been one of the most contentious seasons of Twitter beef? I feel like this is like the earliest and most consistent, relentless Twitter beef.
Yeah, I think it has to do with a lot of the new folks. Everyone's, there's a lot of new love and a lot of new hate.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that's it. Maybe they're being told we need more off the show stuff. Maybe it's a result of the fact that they're doing a challenge every 15 seconds and you don't get a break from these people.
Yeah. Could be. They basically all live together 24/7 now. So
that's all she wrote. Now I need to grab a tissue because I'm just like leaking. Sorry, everyone.
You can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at @CohenBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 7. Till then, have a good one.